So Father, I stand in front of people I've never met before. I stand in front of you. And Lord, I just give you this message. I thank you for the word, Lord, which is contained in it. So at least there is some value in it. And Lord, I just pray that you'll be able to use this imperfect work. Put it in your own hands, Lord. Remold it and take control of my heart and my mouth so that what comes out is useful to edify and build up your church, Lord, and to correct us and guide us for the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so today's message is entitled, The Body, The Body. A few days ago on Thursday, this last week, I began to wonder if I was ever going to get a message from the Lord for today. Because usually I've got it by, Tuesday, Wednesday. There were lots of things going on in my life, and we'd recently come back from a few days in London with our elder sons, and now was preparing a house in Woodall Spa for new tenants moving in, which was hopefully going to happen yesterday. So I was in a hurry, and my mind was all over the place, and I was short of time on that particular morning because I had to get Nola's car into the garage for its MOT at 11:30. That life's like that, isn't it? You've got lots of things to do, and you've got to fit it in the time allocated. So I've got, I was thinking about my message, and I was thinking about the tenants and the things I had to do for that, and the MOT. I can't be late for the MOT, so I'll get in trouble. And I thought I could get everything done in time, so long as I didn't dither about or get distracted. And as a consequence of that, a few things I had to do at this house were being rushed, because I arrived at the house a little bit late to start with. And one of the things that I had to do was to trim the bottom of a bedroom door so it would open cleanly over a new carpet. You know what it's like, and it wears an arc through the carpet, doesn't it, if you don't trim the door up a bit. And I was doing that, and so I removed the door and I took it into the garden so that the shavings wouldn't make a mess in the house. It was a dry day, stuck it on the lawn. And it was while I was doing this, that the electric plane that I was using ran over my little finger on my left hand. It was a nasty shock. And I was half expecting to see half of my finger or part of my finger lying on the grass. That's what it was like. But instead, there was just blood and pain. Lots of blood out of your little finger. However, through the shock and the pain and the blood, I realized within seconds that I was supposed to be leading worship on Sunday and playing the guitar using my left hand on the fretboard. It was just there like that. I'm not going to be able to do this. What am I going to do? What are we going to do? And I was already calculating how many chords I could play without using my little finger. All while this was going on. They say men can't think laterally, but actually we can't do things laterally. We could think laterally. And all of a sudden, my little finger was the main focus of my mind. Not the MOT. Not the house, not the tenants, but my little finger grabbed all my attention, and all of a sudden it became very dear to me. A poor little finger. Up until then, it just hangs around, doesn't it? It's just there all the time. Same on the other hand. They're just there, aren't they, these things? And then, out of the blue, while I was laterally thinking about, can I get to the MOT? Should I put the door back inside? Should I put my tools in? Shall I lock up? Shall I go now? What shall I do? Out of the blue, so to speak, or was it maybe out of the red of the blood, I don't know, the message for today just came. Just like that. And this is what it's based on. It's based on 1 Corinthians 12, verses 14 to 27. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but many parts. And if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. Not for that reason anyway. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and given greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And if one part is honoured, then every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Thank you, Paul, for that. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for making him say it and write it down. It didn't take long before the other parts of my body were compensating for the injury my little finger had just suffered. My brain was making sure that I didn't grab anything without considering where my little finger was and what would happen to it. One slight knock and it would be bleeding all over again. I wrapped it up in my hanky like a big bundle and my whole body was on the side supporting my little finger. My brain was focused on preserving one of its body parts. My blood was beginning to clot. My nerve endings were sending messages to my brain reflecting the condition of my finger end. And my right hand was compensating and offering to take over some of the jobs and the tasks that my left hand normally does. Because normally it's better. My left hand is better at some things than my right hand is. When I grab something, I grab it with my left hand. I write with my right hand, but I grip with my left. All the days leading up to that minor accident, my little finger just got on with it. What it did naturally, and hardly ever got any recognition or any thanks, not even when I played the guitar, until we nearly lost it. None of the other parts of my body can do exactly what my left little finger can do, even though it would hopefully be able to compensate for its loss. If we lost it altogether, no doubt my brain and my body would try to compensate. But as it healed over the next few days, as I meditated on the scripture that there is no division in my physical body, all of it seems to work together for the common good, although actually it is awkward to shower with your right hand and trying to keep your left hand dry, holding it either above your head or out of the shower. It's actually very difficult to shower with one hand. That is awkward. But every other part of my body seemed okay with that, and it was willing to oblige for the common good, you might say. I was beginning to understand how God intended his church to operate. Each of us are supposed to be part of his body. If we're joined to Christ through faith, baptism and dedication to fellowship, and especially the Word of God, then we really ought to be taking our role in the body of Christ seriously. I mean, today, we did part of that in praying for people who are hurting, people who are grieving, people who are hurt. But I think it perhaps should go beyond that. I suppose it's to be expected that some of us won't really know what our role in the body actually is, the church body. For some, it's fairly easy. I mean, if you preach or you teach, then I suppose you're some kind of a mouthpiece of the body. But that doesn't stop the non-preacher teachers from speaking out and using their mouths, does it? I mean, you're allowed to witness for Jesus even when you're not in church. And encouragement, which is often something we forget to do or take for granted, is extremely important in these latter days. So to be an encourager is part of the body. I know those who do the preaching and the encouraging. I know them personally, and therefore clearly God knows who they are too. Let's just refer to Hebrews 10:25 and remember that let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. I mean, some are unavoidably not able to come today, but some choose not to come. And in doing so, let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. And believe me, the day is approaching. It really is. The signs are all there in the world. So what about listening then? Most of us have ears, albeit some have hearing aids. What do you listen to? What do you listen out for? What do you refuse to listen to? Do you hear God speaking through his written word? Do you listen to gossip? Are you encouraged when you hear what's happening in the world? Or does it fill you with dread? Does it fill you with fear? What about your eyes? Most of us wear glasses for one reason or another. But with or without them, what can you see? What do you see? What do you look at? When you look at trees and flowers, when you see the changing seasons and the colours and the developing fruit in the autumn, what do you do? Do you dread the coming winter months? Do you worry about your heating bills? Or do you thank God for his amazing creation? For the fact that you are able to appreciate millions of colours, different shades and colours you can see with a human eye? Or do you worry about the fact that very soon there'll be loads and loads of leaves to rake up and get rid of? From Revelation 3:17, you say, I am rich. I'm all right, Jack. I have acquired wealth. I do not need a thing. But you don't realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. If you possess many things and yet cannot see God's hand in things or delight in his creation, you're missing the best bit. No matter how wealthy you are and whatever you possess, you won't be able to enjoy it properly. In effect, you could be spiritually blind even having 20/20 vision. If you've got it but you can't see it as God's creation, then what exactly have you got? And this is where scripture fits in nicely. In Psalm 37 verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. I play with that a lot, that little bit of that psalm, because it really, really speaks to me. What does it mean? Well, for me at least, it means that if you can appreciate what God has done, not only his incredible creation, the colours, the shapes, the animals, the birds, the fishes. And when you watch these nature programs, you'd never finish being amazed at something you've never seen before. But also the way all these things work together like a body. They interact. And we are doing a really good job of smashing it all up and killing it and destroying it, aren't we? And we're warned about that in Revelation. In harmony, they work in harmony, but also the fact that he has created us to see and hear and touch and listen and smell all these things so that we can witness to his glory, witness to his creation and give him the worship and the glory that he deserves. If you can delight in all those things and also realize that the greatest thing that God has done is to pay the price for your sin, for our sin, that is the mistakes we've made, the things and the people that we've damaged, the earth that we've damaged, the way we've even ignored God or even rejected him and his word. If you can do all those things, then you will realize that you are already receiving the desires of your heart. Because the greatest gift is that God would and did give you Jesus. That's the greatest of all his gifts. And if you can appreciate that, then you have got your heart's desire. Some people don't have a sense of smell, but they can still smell a rat. so to speak. In the natural, it's amazing to smell the sweet scent of an old-fashioned rose. I say old-fashioned because modern hybrids are being meddled with by man to make a bigger, brighter, stronger flower, but at the expense of losing its natural sweet scent that only comes from a rose that God made. And the same thing with the lily of the valley, such a small, tiny little white bell-shaped thing that grows all over the place. It is an incredible scent. If you can't smell that and you can't appreciate it, you're missing out. Like orange blossom. Just incredibly different and very, very sweet and attractive. How is it that we appreciate this? Why does it make us feel good? Why do we give the glory to God? Or why don't we? One of my favourites is the blossom of the broad bean plant. Who knows what I mean? You think, what do you mean, beans? The blossom of a broad bean plant is the sweetest thing I've ever smelled. It's like lily of the valley. All these things can either amuse you, gratify your need for nice smells and perfumes, or if you delight yourself in the Lord, the creator of all these things, you will be receiving some of the desires of your heart. Things that you can't buy. And you'll be giving the glory to God for being such an amazing God. What about smelling a rat then? A bit like having the gift of discernment, spiritual discernment, sensing something that others miss. A supernatural gift, I believe, and very useful to have someone like that in your church body. Somebody who has the gift of discernment. Do you recognize the various different parts in his body? When you think about this church, do you recognize the gifts in different people? Do you know who does what and what they are good at? Do you know what they're not good at? Do you know what your part is? Do you know what you do? Do you know what you're good at? Do you know what you're not good at? Well, we should find out. We should try to do things. Because as different parts of his church, we need to acknowledge and respect them before they get hurt, like my little finger. And then they start crying out. But when is someone not a part of the body of Christ, his church? Well, the obvious answer is when they've never actually joined in the first place. When they've never believed and trusted in Jesus to save them. They don't believe that Jesus died on the cross to cover their sins. That his blood is the only blood shed to forgive their sins. They don't recognize that Jesus can deliver them from hell. That he's there to lead them. That he has a plan for their future. Well, those kind of people might think they're part of his church, his body, but in reality they're not. They're not part of his body. And in Matthew 7, verses 22 to 23, it's made very clear where Jesus says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Get away from me, you evildoers. I mean, that is such a shocking statement. That people would, in the name of Jesus, prophesy and in the name of Jesus drive out demons, and they were never actually saved in the first place. They were never part of his body. They never recognized that they needed to be saved by Jesus. I can only assume that's what that means. Because even the man on the cross was saved. He did nothing, did he? Except, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Today I tell you, you'll be with me in paradise. Just like that. But some people, he never knew. They can't possibly be part of his body. And then maybe there were those who were part of his local body of Christ and in the local church, but for one reason or another, they are no longer because they've had to move away. They've moved house, they've moved job, whatever. But then there are others who've moved away, as in 1 John 2, 17 to 19, And this is quite poignant, I suppose, today when we've been talking about people who are coming towards the end of their lives. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now, many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, then they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them actually belonged to us. Clearly, not everyone who leaves this church and joins another falls into that category. But there will be those who pop in, have a look, so to speak, have a look round, have a chat, see what it's like, and never come back. That's not a problem in itself, but they may never form a saving relationship with Christ Jesus. They may never, ever get to know him. And there may have been those over the years who felt drawn away for reasons that we may never understand. However, although they may have left his church body here, so long as they remain in the Christian faith and remain in fellowship with God, then they remain a part of the worldwide body of Christ. They remain our brothers and our sisters. And we know some of those people, don't we? We still feel connected, even though we're apart. So when you hurt them, when you hurt, do you feel the concern of others within this church? And ask yourself another question. Do you feel concern for them? All of a sudden, I was concerned for my little finger. And everything seemed to want to help. To make sure it didn't get hurt anymore. And to make sure that it's healing okay, it's not getting infected. I don't need a stitch. We all witness pains in our physical body. Some of us more than others. And the older we get, the more normal or regular it seems to be. We all have parts of our own body that don't work as well as they used to. As well as they could. Maybe as well as they should. But some people in the world have even a worse condition. A worse condition. And it's called body dysmorphic disorder. It is a mental disorder. It's a mental disorder. It all goes on in your head. In which you can't stop thinking about one or more perceived defects or flaws in your appearance or your body. Oh, I hate my legs. Oh, do I look fat in this? Or this really makes my bum stick out? Or actually it gets worse than that. I mean, that's the humorous side of it. But people actually hate their mouth or their lips or their eyes. Or they wish they had blue eyes, they actually got brown. Something like that. Or I hate my ears. I wish I had lobes on my ears, that kind of thing. It's a mental disorder in which you can't stop thinking about one or more perceived defects or flaws in your appearance or in your body. A flaw that to others is either minor or not even observable. But you may feel so ashamed and anxious that you may avoid many social situations. It controls you. It stops you doing certain things. And focusing on a single part of your body in a negative, condemnatory or hateful way can be highly damaging to that person and to the rest of that person's body. And the same can happen in the church body too, if we're not very careful. Because it's a trap to focus exclusively on people who are part of the church body, but don't act or perform as well as we think they should. Are you getting me? Do you follow that? After all, in doing so, who do we think that we are to judge that? We should, really, after all, act like our brain does in our own bodies. My brain goes out of its way to control the other parts of my body in order to honour my poorly little finger. And we should have the same attitude to people in the church body, especially if we confess to being led by the Holy Spirit. He's supposed to be our head and our brain. He's the one who's supposed to lead us to how we treat each other, how we communicate with each other, how we help each other, how we support each other. I'm going to share something from 1 Corinthians 12 about the body, verses 12 to 13. The body is a unit, a single unit. And although it's made up of many parts, and although all its parts are many, they do form one body. And so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Whether we're Jews or non-Jews, Greeks, slave or free, or whatever we are, and we were all given that one Holy Spirit to drink. Now, notwithstanding mental abnormalities or spiritual problems regarding how we look upon our own physical bodies, this is the instruction that we should take on board if we are going to allow Jesus to be our head. We really need to listen to him and obey him. I'm closing towards the end now. From Ephesians 5, 29, 30. And notwithstanding the fact that some people have got problems, it says here, Paul, speaking to the Ephesian church, after all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and he cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. We need, really, to be the body of Christ, his church. And in doing so, we need to look after it and take care of it. Every part of the body. We need to be aware. We need to work together to see the weaknesses, to see the hurts, to see the less able parts are not neglected, to honour certain parts, to encourage parts that are working hard, and just to take stock every now and again to make sure that everything is as it's meant to be. Amen. Father, I just thank you for being with us this morning. We thank you for the guidance of your word, Lord. And we just ask you to be the head of our body. Lord, to bless your body here in this church, to strengthen us, Lord, and help us to be encouraged by you and to encourage each other, especially, Lord, as it says, as we see the day approaching. And even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. Amen.